Welcome to the exciting conclusion of the October 28th, 2014 Handsome Hour. Well, I don't know how exciting, but go ahead and listen.
Oh, man. So
history repeat itself.
I'm a little disappointed that Purdue's losing Mostert and Hunt. That's kind of bothering me because
no, we talked about that a little bit. I mean, I hope that both of them find a way to play football for a living. I really do. They both seem like good guys. And Mostert, I mean, his career is so odd, you know, because he showed these flashes of brilliance, like, right away, returning kicks. And even, I think he had a couple runs and, you know, passing the flat that he turned into big plays. You're like, oh, man, this guy's going to be great. And he's shown all those tools. He is a great athlete, obviously. But he's not he's just not very good with handling the ball. You know, I mean, it's a weird thing to say. He just can't, it's like, I think one thing, Hazel's been smart to step back from him and say, okay, it's not working out. You know, we can't do it. And rather than writing it and say, gosh, this guy has so much potential. And Hunt, one thing that's really impressive with Hunt, and I've heard multiple interviews now that he's been told by coaches that, you know, he used to take the first contact and he kind of let up. You know, he wouldn't, because of his size, he wouldn't try to go through the arm tackles. And you can see the difference in the way he runs. You saw it last game. I mean, my gosh, he was so effective in the second half, and he was so good versus Michigan State. And actually so effective in the first half versus Minnesota, so effective versus Michigan State. That second half was incredible, you know. So he'll be missed, definitely. But I think one thing that, you know, I'm excited to see Keyonte Green as an every-down back. And this guy – the guy that I know, you know, you and I don't talk about recruiting very often. I just pray Markell Jones actually gets to Purdue. I mean, I don't know if you see any of those Twitter links that I've been putting up on Friday nights when I read his numbers. They are astounding. He plays for a 4A team in Indiana, Columbus East. He doesn't play most of the second half of his team's games because he'll have 320 yards and a half. He just puts up ridiculous numbers. So he's going to be either Mr. Football or Mr. Football runner-up, it sounds like. So I just hope he doesn't get sniped by somebody. You know, somebody doesn't pick him up because he's that good. I don't know. It's pretty hard for a freshman to come in and play right away, but man, he's good. And Keyonte Green, the one thing that you saw versus Illinois, I think he had a big run. I think he only had one carry that game, and it was like a third and one or fourth and one, and he hit the hole and – made the first guy miss, and then he kind of broke up to the outside on the right, and he's not very fast. I mean, that's obvious. But you know what? You don't need to be fast. You know, you really don't. No. You just need to be able to hit the hole hard and hold on to the ball, and he's an effective runner. You know, I wish we'd have seen more of him, but, you know, the reason we haven't seen more of him is because Hunt's been so good. But like you said, Hunt and Mostert will be missed. So.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Mostert at least run one more back, right?
Yes. Yeah. But he doesn't seem to be – I guess he is. He is back there most of the time, right?
Yeah, he's back there. He's back there every time.
They're just smart enough not to kick to him most days.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. He's still averaging. He has a high average, but it's not, you know, well, high average coming from, you know, he gets 20, what was it, right in the 20, 24.
Well, you know who we have to thank for that. Who's
CoachDannyHope.com.
Not only does he trumpet the fact that he had the highest kick return average in the nation, the first time Purdue football has led in a statistical category, I believe is how it was worded, which I don't know how he came up with that. Purdue probably led the nation in something sometime. In fact, I'm 100% certain they have, because they've got like four or five of the top passing yardage seasons by a quarterback ever in the Big Ten. Yeah. In the Big Ten. They've got like,
but as you know, his site was written by a seventh grade class as a project. So
he also thinks Purdue football's only been around for 30
English
years.
As a second language was that class. Yeah. Well, let's do a quick look ahead to basketball. I think that'd be a good thing, right?
Well, yeah, it's worth noting that, and you'll probably see more about this on the site and the Boiled Sports Podcast Nation, the Boiled Sports Radio Network is expanding its tentacles, and Mike Henry is coming back with his basketball beat after basically taking a whole season off, which we can't blame him for. And it's all going to be part of the Purdue. If you haven't seen this, you need to just look for us on iTunes. Look for the link. We should post it. Oh, it is actually on the site.
I put it on Twitter.
And it's on our site. There's the Bull Sports Podcast Network. If you click on there, it'll say it. Giant letters. Click here, and you can see. You can go to iTunes. You can see our.
I think you can do an iTunes search now for Boiled Sports.
Yes,
and it'll come up. Actually,
I believe you can.
I literally, this is how smart I am. I guess I thought the podcast fairies would take it over there. But I've been doing that search for the last 2 years, just hoping it would get there. And I didn't know if you, because, you know, it used to be that we could use iTunes on the old site, you know?
Yes.
And I thought, well, then there's got to be remnants of it someplace. No, it's not there. But I would go there when I was on the road. I'd be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take a walk down, you know, memory lane, listen to Jay and I and talking about the good old days with each one more and JJ. Not there.
So it's nice that we're going to have our minions that work for Boyle Sports doing their own podcast. It does appear. I don't know about you. I wasn't asked to be a part of it.
They did not ask me either. That's shocking.
I know,
because I sound so good right now.
I guess that they, we should take that as a hint that we're just not wanted there.
Yes.
Basically, I guess we're going to be competing.
I hope it makes us very rich, and that'd be the way to get back at them. Is we get That's really, true. Really wealthy.
Well, I don't plan to increase
wealthier.
I don't plan to increase their salaries for this. Sure, but you'll be seeing that coming from those guys. That I believe they call it the basketball beat off or beat basketball beat.
Beat. Yeah, you're close.
That's close. So, what do you want to look ahead to? So, I can barely get my mind around the fact that, and it's good. It's good that I'm not thinking about basketball starting, because the last couple of football seasons, by the time late October
comes, by this time,
ready for basketball.
Right.
But their first game is in like, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that? They got preseason games starting up in this weekend, maybe?
It is. It is this weekend. It's Sunday. And if you loyal Handsome Hour listeners want to tune into that, of course you'll have to pay a $10 fee to the Big Ten Network to watch it. Or you can listen to Clisby live. Or, Jay, you'll be simulcasting the Blog Talk Radio.
That's a great idea.
The last one is a lie. That was a lie. That's a lie.
That would be
interesting. Thanks to the Big Ten Network again for that. Thank you.
If you like your team, you'll be able to watch your team. It's just like What? Did that sound like something else?
Oh, I love the crossover. I love the crossover of politics and sports. Good job.
Well, they did promise that, did they not? Delaney promised us that?
They did. No one remembers me. I can remember vividly. I was listening to radio because Big Ten Network was trying to put pressure on Comcast, was like one of the last holdouts to the major cable providers. And they said, Big Ten fans, you need to go to your cable provider and tell them that you really want the Big Ten Network. Once we're in place, here's the deal. Every Big Ten basketball game will be on the Big Ten Network or one of the overflow stations. I mean, what else? There's no misconstruing that. I wish I had an article that said that, but I remember it. This is one thing I remember because I was excited, and I actually called Comcast that day. And they make me look like a rube. You have to get the Big Ten Network. They're the best thing ever. We want to hear stupid people talking and horrible shows and then awful play-by-play.
And on the subject, I just – want to say to our tens of listeners, Mike Hall is a little brat. He's such a condescending little douche. And I don't know if you – did you see the exchange from last weekend when I criticized their programming on Saturday morning? I said Big Ten Network is replaying BTN – what was the live show, the radio show that they do on Friday nights, BTN Live? It is, BTN Live.
Yeah.
They're replaying that at like 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And I said, at 10 a.m. Saturday morning, you can't have original content on?
Can't pregame?
You can't have something on from a campus, from your studios? And he writes back, wait, 11 or 12 we have. How long do you want us to be on TV? It's like, during college football season? Not that I want to
compare. 2 hours before. 2 hours before tickets.
Yes! And not that I want to compare you to ESPN, like there's something to hold up, but they've got live programming starting at, what, 8 or 9 in the morning with SportsCenter, then like a pre-game day, then that horrible game day show. At least they're putting on original content, and you know when you turn it on.
Listen, you know, you can say you don't want to compare them to ESPN, but that's why they got into business. They got into the business to go to right at ESPN, right?
Or to be an alternative for us. And how do you not have – I don't give a shit. Put students on at 9 a.m. Put anything on.
I've been saying that for years. Maybe they could find a talent stream that's better than the garbage that they have in studio and during the games. If they would just say, here's the deal. We're going to have cameras at every Big Ten venue. We're going to have the wires all set up, and all we have to do is push a button. And you know what we're going to do? Every single game is going to be called by student play-by-play in color. That's it. And so – It may be painful to listen to. It's going to be better than listening to Tim Doyle. I can assure you that. Because you'll be like, you know what? This kid's getting better. You know, he's getting better. I heard him a couple weeks ago. And every Purdue pre-conference game, other than the ones that are marquee, are going to be done by a kid who lives at Kerry Court. Maybe they'd find
out. How about you think they'd be better than Chuck Long?
Oh, my gosh. He was an
abomination.
Well, the thing that's amazing is I had heard good things about him as a coach years ago. And, you know, he got fired, I think. And I said, well, no wonder he got fired. He sounds dumb as a can. Even if he says something smart, you're going to be like, I can't respect this guy.
Well, yeah. And there's just that I have to go back. I have to go back to Hall, though. He's got that. He's condescending. He's been a bitch to us before. Like when fans were furious the time that their feed broke down and they had to acknowledge that they didn't have broadcasters at Mackey for a game, and Purdue fans were livid. And Hall was putting stuff on Twitter like, really obnoxious things being said to me by Purdue fans. Well, screw you, man. That's obnoxious what you all did. Don't be angry at them because you have passion. I said that to him on Saturday when I wrote back. I said, why would you make a condescending remark like that to your fan base, to loyal fans who want to watch your network, you stupid, ignorant ass? Like,
right.
We want to watch your network. I wish it was on because I don't want to have to watch ESPN. I would watch Dave Revson. You put those guys on. I mean,
yeah, I like Revson.
I'll watch Howard and DiNardo.
Yep. That's the list, though. That's it. That's the only people I like on that network. That's you and I've talked about. That's it. I can't stand the rest of them.
Yeah, that's horrible. You don't think Glenn Mason has a lot to share? Mace, Coach Mace. But Hall. You know what Hall has too that I really. That it's that smugness.
Mason's teeth.
Hall is like Mike Greenberg. You know, he thinks he's above it all, and he doesn't really appeal. He's trying to appeal to your mother. You know, coming up next, I'll have a hilarious interview where I ask a question about Bo Pelini's cat, and you're like, what? What the hell are you doing? Right? Am I right though? He's always got that like.
Oh, you're exactly right.
I've got a goofy ass, funny, ha-ha coming up. Mm-hmm. It's Mike Hall. Like, how about you actually analyze something or ask a question of an analyst? Like, how about you do that?
Too busy rooting for Missouri, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big Missouri fan. And too busy just telling us all that we're jerks for wanting them to put on real content. That's the best part. Yeah. That's enough about it. I don't want to spend any more time on that.
Well, did you hear the one thing I just heard on the radio? I was listening to Dan Patrick. Who was it? Fowler defended ESPN saying, if you think that ESPN has a bias to the SEC, you're an idiot. And Patrick said, listen, I like Chris Fowler. And he goes, I don't think Chris Fowler individually has any bias towards the SEC.
I think he's a professional.
But I do know that ESPN has a lot of vested interest in SEC. They are business partners. So they're going to help their business partners because the people that invested the money are going to say, hey, make them look good, right? We put a lot of money into that.
And where has game day been that was not the SEC this year? They went to Florida State once.
Right. They went to a Division I AA. They went to North Dakota or someplace, right?
Did they do that this year? I know they've done it in the past, but all I can think of is I remember them going to Florida State and they went to Oregon, I think, one game. And, right. and other than that, it's been SEC venues, one after another.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to hear that.
I heard a brilliant phone call. He succinctly said it. He said, ESPN is a very bad credibility problem that they can't get it out of now.
It is, but it's well-deserved. And I think that people, you have no choice but to watch ESPN because if you want live programming, they're going to have the majority of it. And and what that means is you have a captive audience. So
who's the woman who does color or play-by-play for football?
Pam Ward. Pam Ward, right? And there's another one. There's two. There's Pam Ward and there's
Burke, right?
Oh. Anyone named Burke? Yes. Yeah, Burke. Doris Burke?
Burke. Who sounds like my grandmother's generation, like that name, doesn't it?
It does.
And both of my grandmothers are dead, just for the record. So that's an old generation, all listeners.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. We all know the Big Ten has a built-in bias. It's got Big Ten right in its name. ESPN pretends like it doesn't have a bias. It's got SEC all over its programming, right?
Right.
The one that I really enjoy, Fox Sports 1, you know, they're in studios funny. They've got good personalities. But it's like they've taken all the talent away from their conference heavy networks, you know. Big Ten Network is all tapped out, you know, they can't get any more money. You know, you're gonna have to have people like Roosevelt Colvin volunteering his time and getting $50 in gas money, you know, during football season like he did last year. We haven't seen him probably because he's working, you know, he's, you know, he owns a couple of UPS stores now. That's what he's doing. So,
oh, is it?
He probably figures that's more profitable than the drive to Chicago and being in studio. So, okay, real quick. Okay, yeah, basketball season. We don't have a ton of time. And there's a, I think it's, you know, it's kind of like I was about football before this season. I just said, you know, all the talk is just platitudes. None of it matters. You know, exactly. Scrimmages don't matter until you actually see a team play a team, right? And until you see something different. There's one thing that stuck out from the scrimmage this last week was Octius Prime had 10 assists and no turnovers. That thing was huge to me. Kendall Stevens poured in 32, but who cares? You know, that's the guy can shoot. You know, maybe he got hot. Maybe he had a, you know, who knows who was guarding him. You know, I wasn't at the scrimmage. But Prime having
that, him scoring 32 sounds like
something. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's not what you meant. Right. I'm sorry.
I mean, we don't know.
It wasn't that open of a scrimmage. Right.
No.
Ryan, come on down here. You try to guard him.
There's a fat, bald old guy guarding him right now. Stevens is filling it up. That guy's just thrown up on Maggie Arena's court, on Katie court.
No. Right. So that was appealing. That was good to see in the scrimmage. But I agree with you. Here's how I'm looking at this upcoming season, and I'll be very curious to hear our eternal optimist, handsome young gentlemen that are going to do their podcast this week and add it to the network. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and predict their predictions, which is, you know, getting kind of through the looking glass. But I'm going to say that they're going to be really bullish on this season. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And okay. I am not, because I've now gotten into that state of Purdue fandom where I think you've been at times, you seem to vacillate. Some years you're optimistic, some years they beat you down. I'm in that stage where I was with football, where I'm like, you know what, until I start to see something, I'm not going to believe. Because the last couple seasons, they haven't been, there hasn't been a dearth of talent. There's no reason to say that they should have been under. They were playing, and we said this during the year, they were playing like Bruce Weber, Illinois teams. Like, enough talent. But they'd go on like a 6-game losing streak for no good reason.
But I think you're hitting on something that's very, very important, and that is Bruce Weber, Illinois teams had problems with chemistry. I think it's pretty well documented, especially towards the end of his time there. Plenty of talent. They had what, 2 McDonald's All-Americans on his last couple teams, right?
Yeah.
Purdue had plenty of 4-stars. Plenty. That's the thing. People saying Matt Painter can't recruit talent is asinine. I've said it before. There were more 4-stars on the roster last year than there have ever been at Purdue.
Right.
I mean, they're not 5-stars, but you know what? You don't need 5-stars to make a run at the Big Ten title. What you need is a bunch of guys that are all on the same page and playing well together. And the thing is, 2 years ago, right, there were all those cancers, and they said, all right, they're all leaving. Everything's going to be better. Well, they left, and it didn't work. And last year, they said, okay, there's one more cancer. We need to get him out of here. You know, I'm not going to name his name. Everyone knows who I'm talking about. But they say that was the issue because he came down, he pounded the ball, he wouldn't put it inside, he wouldn't go up, wouldn't feed A.J. Hammonds, you know, and it was pretty well documented. Those two weren't very happy with each other toward the end of the season. Well, they say that's all gone away, everything's better now. Okay, show us, right? Show us.
Right, that's all.
That's it.
That's all.
You know, we're still fans, we still love Purdue, we still are going to spend money on Purdue. We're still going to spend way too much time watching Purdue. We just want to see some proof that things have changed. You know, we've been we've been very fair, very lenient, maybe too lenient with what happened the last couple seasons. I think we've had people criticize us for that. You know, that we haven't asked for Matt Painter's head on a platter. But the logical part of us has said, get over it. It's not going to happen. It's too expensive. You know, that's one thing you talked about is that those buyouts, man.
Yeah, for those that didn't see it, if Brett Painter were to be fired this season or after the season, before like June 30th of 15, Purdue would owe him just under $10 million. So there is no way he's going anywhere. I mean, less than no way. $10 million? $1 million would make Burke think twice.
Sure.
$10 million. $10 million. That's a lot. That's a lot anywhere. I can't imagine, I'd have to look it up, but I can't imagine that some of the premier programs, I don't think Bill Self would have, maybe.
No way.
But
no way.
That was because they were scared to death that he was going to leave and go to Missouri, right? And they agreed to pay. So he's not going anywhere. Absolutely no chance.
So what's, you know, that's Jay and I being, you know, mayor and lieutenant mayor or whatever you want to call it, of Realville. There's nothing that could have happened. We all knew that. There's nothing that could have happened. So demanding someone to be fired, you know, that'd be like saying, well, I want to be emperor of the world. Because the same, it's not going to happen, right? Not going to happen. I demand an NBA contract. Well, Ryan, you're 5'4". Okay, you're still 5'4". You still have a horrible jump shot, and you can't dribble with your left hand now, which is new. I used to be able to dribble with my left hand. Now I can't do it at all. I mean, it's astounding. It's astounding how bad I am at basketball. So, but I want an NBA contract. So anyway, so it's the same stupidity. It's not going to happen. We need to get over it. So I'm excited about basketball season just because it's a new thing. Get to see a whole bunch of a new cast, and I think this season will be fun. I've said the same thing for like every year. I'm going to say it again. Well, they're probably going to start off slow, and then maybe they'll hit the rhythm, you know, right as the Big Ten season and surprise some people. No, I'm done saying crap like that, right? You know, we just can't.
I'll take any stretch. I don't care if they're really good at the beginning and then mediocre or really good in the Big Ten. I want to see something that's not this same kind of lethargic. And as you alluded to, something that's like, you know, full of excuses, you know, I don't want to hear, oh, it's got to get rid of, or you got to, you know, I don't want to hear that anymore. Clean it up. Figure out what the problem is. Clean it up in-house. And that's on Painter. Right. Yeah. He's not going anywhere. But if he wants to have the arena filled and he doesn't want to be booed off the court, then he needs to be, you know, you can't lose fans. You can't lose the students. And I think one more horrible season and they will.
Yeah. Well, they came close to it last year. I mean, I went to multiple games last year. I mean, the funny thing was, you know, Sunday night games, there were no students there. And I know people say, oh, they got to study. Give me a break. I mean, I was a student not long ago. Come on.
You didn't study that. You didn't study Sunday nights.
I never studied. Yeah. So, but, you know, I was a finger painting major. If you guys can look that up. There were no students there on Sunday night games. And I had a hard time swallowing that. I just thought that was garbage. It was for the first time. I mean, I told the paint crew I thought that was a letdown, and that's too bad. I know there are some loyalists that were at every game, but generally they showed up pretty poorly. And so he's already started losing many of them, you know. And it's easy to gain them back, though. That's the thing I say to people over and over. It's easy to gain all this back. It's real simple. Win, right? Win games you're not supposed to win, and then after you have some expectation, win the games you're supposed to win. That's it. It's not hard. And they've done it before. I know it's if it were easy, everybody would be winning, but distractions and garbage that he's gone through personally, put himself through, you know, that's not there anymore. There's no excuses on that. I just don't know what the excuse would be this year if they, you know, I know they're young. I guess that would be the excuse, but I'm just sick of my whole winter being a doldrum as I watch a crappy basketball team play like they don't care. You know, that's the hardest thing to deal with. And last year, I know they were better than the year before, and they tried harder, but man, it's been a tough couple of years, huh? Right now, expectations are low. So what you got to do is beat some teams you're not supposed to beat, right? That's the first step.
It's pretty
simple. You beat one team you're not supposed to beat, and I think it would be astounding the reaction Mac Arena would have the very next game. I think you'd have a full arena. You think you'd, if it wasn't full, it'd be close to full, but the students would all be there. So that's the thing. The students will pull that train. And then after expectations are risen a little bit, then start winning in a regular clip and beating teams you're supposed to beat. That's it. It's really not, it's not rocket science. You know, you win and fans come. It's, you know, they got the likability last year. I think, you know, that they had a lot of players that people liked watching, you know, that personalities seemed better. You know, there were a couple exceptions, but generally people liked watching them, you know. So
yeah,
one thing if Hammons has a season that forces him to leave to go in the NBA, Purdue should be in pretty good shape, right? I mean, that should be a 17-19 win team.
Well, there's no reason for that. I mean, gosh, with guys like him, with just with him alone, yeah, 17-19 wins, yeah, I would expect more than that if you want to call it a good season.
That's what a friend of mine, he wrote me, he said, they're close. I think this year they take the next step. They get, you know, they go up a level. I said, what, second round of the Big Ten tournament and an NIT? And I was joking. And he said, yes. And I was like, oh, how far have we fallen? That's true, right? That is a step forward. That is a step up.
That is terrible.
So, well, I think let's do a couple things. First off, the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour, of course, is brought to you by CoachDannyHope.com, where you'll find all the information of Purdue's greatest coach, greatest football coach, greatest basketball coach, greatest coach, period, ever. You'll find interesting tidbits and entertainment, and you can spend hours there. That's CoachDannyHope.com, the sponsor of the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. That's not true. That's not true. I misread that. I'm sorry. In all seriousness, if you want to buy some bumper stickers, we've got those.
So we're gonna try to we'll be back and try to do this a little more regularly. And if you mix that in with the regular basketball podcast that our young bucks have promised us, there will be nothing but content.
You will have so much content that it will be spewing from your ears. Your friends will say, "Where did you get all your fantastic knowledge?" And you can send them to the site, and the site will grow in fame, and Jay and I will grow in riches and buy bigger houses on the hill.
And I think, you know, what you should do, if you should download this podcast and you should play this loudly at your tailgate. I think the best way to listen, to get ready for the game, is to listen to us talk about Purdue sports. I think it's the way to go. And, you know, it reminds me of one of my favorite memories of the Handsome Hour was back when we were doing it live, and we had a young lady call into the show from, and we're not making this up, from her sorority house, I believe.
That was awesome.
And she said, and then on Twitter, one of her really, really hot sorority sisters was like, went running down the hallway and announced how she ran down there because she heard her girlfriend on the, I was like, mercy. I don't think I was ever that's the most inside a sorority house I've ever been.
Mm-hmm. I had a study group there. So that was it. The only reason they'd let me in is because of the study group. So.
You had a study group in a sorority house?
Yep.
So anyway, I'll go back to my suggestion. I think you should play this loud and proud at your tailgates.
Mm-hmm. When you're tailgating in Lincoln this weekend, Purdue fans will be.
Oh, I'm sure there's. I'm sure Purdue travels. Purdue travels really well.
Purdue travels. That's
Purdue doesn't that's travel that well across the intramural fields to Ross Abe, but but to Lincoln, that's not a problem at all. So anyway, so you heard it here first, Purdue with the upset. You will look like the smartest man alive, I think. Although I say that, but I do think there are probably a fair number of Purdue fans who are not gonna think you're crazy, because they're excited. They've seen the last couple of weeks and they think, man, they're gonna break through. They're there.
12 Purdue fans plus me. Yep. Baker's dozen. Yep.
About that. That's all the smart ones that are left, I know.
Yep.
All right. Well, this is been a pleasure as always.
It's fantastic to talk to you.
You shouldn't go this long. We shouldn't go from February to October.
No, let's do this again soon.
Yeah, definitely. You've been listening to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.